Every champion has a team behind them. And for thousands of families without insurance, Christ Clinic is that team. At Christ Clinic in Katy, Texas, they provide high-quality, faith-based health care to people who can't afford it. Because everyone deserves a shot at health, no matter their income or insurance status. Their doctors, volunteers, their mission, rooted in compassion. Their impact, over 10,000 patient visits every year and growing. But they can't do it without help from fans like you. If you ever cheered for a comeback story, this is your chance to be a part of one. Donate today at ChristClinicKaty.org and help them keep the doors open for those who need it most. One gift can be the difference between surviving and thriving. Christ Clinic in Katy, where health meets hope and faith goes to work. That's Christ Clinic Katy, spelled KATY.org. Team up with them today.
Live from San Francisco on the Sports Byline Broadcasting Network, you are listening to Wrestling Observer Live with your hosts, Brian Alvarez and Mike Sempervivi.
Are you ready? Are you ready? Let's get it on!
How's it going, everybody? Brian Alvarez here on Wrestling Observer Live. We are here every day, Monday through Friday, noon Pacific, 3 Eastern, Sunday, 3 Pacific, 6 Eastern, Saturday mornings with Jim Valley, 10 a.m. Pacific, 1 Eastern, Sundays with Andrew Zarian. And it is Wednesday here on the show. You know what that means? We got a lot to talk about here today. NXT was last night. NXT is hit and miss with me, brother. We'll tell you the good, the bad, and the ugly on that show last night. Tonight is Dynamite, Ontario, California, the hometown of the Young Bucks. We'll give you the lineup for that show. They've got a big match coming up, and there is a TBA wildcard team. We still don't know who that's going to be yet, but could be Adam Copeland and Christian. I guess we'll find out. We're also going to have Filthy Tom Lawler joining us here today. I know he wants to talk about former IWGP World Champion, MMA fighter. I don't know what's happening here, everybody, but stick around. Are we on the air, Byline? Okay, that was Dom's fault, everybody. All right, where was I? Tadao Yasuda has passed away. Filthy Tom wants to talk a lot about him. Former IWGP champion, mixed martial arts fighter, Makai Club and more. We'll talk about that. Plus, all of the rest of the news, Lesnar's returning to Raw, where that is likely going. A bunch of notes from New Japan's New Beginning in Osaka. We have a title change. We have someone likely leaving the promotion. We're going to have some ratings notes. We've got an incredible interview where Miz talks about how before going to WWE over 20 years ago, he first tried to go to Japan. Yes. Tell you about that and so much more. That is the proper music. We're going to head to a break, and when we come back, we'll get this show on the road. Back in a moment with more Observer Live.
If you're serious about investing in gold or silver, Allegiance Gold will give you an additional $5,000 in free gold to add to your portfolio. They can help you buy any amount of gold or silver, even roll over your current IRA into gold. They've helped thousands invest millions in gold over the years, with prices that are some of the best in the industry, with fees that are fair, reasonable, and transparent. Protect your wealth with gold. Save on your gold or silver pricing when you buy from the top-rated Allegiance Gold. Invest in gold or silver today by calling Allegiance for your free gold guide. And learn about the $5,000 free gold offer with qualified purchase. Call now.
800-413-1937. 800-413-1937. 800-413-1937. That's 800-413-1937.
Okay, let's have a little fun. Do you use the expensive blue pill to perform better? Are you thinking about it? So what if we can promise you results for less than $1 a pill? Okay, so these same pills can cost you $30 or more at a pharmacy. And our better blue pill works for less than $1 a pill. You'll save $29 or more per pill. And right now, we'll give you 120 blue pills for just $99. Have a little fun and call right now. Get 120 of our better blue pills for just $99. Don't overpay for the other blue pills. Call Steel Man Pills right now and get the better blue pill for less than $1 a pill. Call 1-800-BUY-BLUE, 1-800-BUY-BLUE. It's easy to remember. 1-800-BUY-BLUE. That's 1-800-BUY-BLUE. And thanks for calling.
Hello, Americans. It's Uncle Sam here. If you owe $10,000 or more in back taxes to the IRS or state, don't worry. I've got important news that may help you negotiate a lower tax bill. In today's economy, the IRS has released a variety of new rules and is offering more flexible terms to help Americans looking to settle their IRS debt. If you apply today, we may be able to lift your wage garnishments and release a freeze on your bank assets or business. Our team of tax professionals can resolve your case and stop collection actions against you. Even if you've been audited or haven't filed a return in years, they can help. Call right now and find out if you qualify to settle your IRS debt for far less than what you owe. Pick up your phone right now and call us for a free $500 IRS tax review. Don't wait. Here's the number.
Call right now. 800-943-9215. 800-943-9215. 800-943-9215. Again, for the last time, that's 800-943-9215.
You are listening to Wrestling Observer Live with Brian Alvarez and Mike Sempervivi on the Sports Byline Broadcasting Network.
Back in the show, Brian Alvarez here, Wrestling Observer Live. Filthy Tom Lawler is joining us here today. And Tom, before we go any further, I want to give you a chance to talk about Tadao Yasuda.
Yes, Tadao Yasuda, a legend. To me, a legend, as he should be to all fans of professional wrestling, mixed martial arts, fighting. This is a man who started off as a sumo competitor, later on transitioned out of sumo and became a young lion in the New Japan system, and had his greatest fame due to uncouth circumstances, I guess you could say. Tadao Yasuda was also known as the debt king or the borrowing money king. He had a gambling issue that plagued his life.
Sounds like a lot of sumos had that problem.
Yeah.
He wasn't the only one.
No. It probably still continues on. However, this actually led him to his greatest fame because he took part in a mixed martial arts fight. He took part in multiple mixed martial arts fights, but he basically became a human interest story due to being able to reunite with his family, his daughter, his wife, after going into supreme debt. He fought in Pride. He actually won in Pride against Masaki Satake, I believe, in just a horrific fight where he pushed him in the corner for about 20 minutes and he got the decision. He then lost to Rene Ruse, I believe, and then had his biggest win, which was over Jerome LeBanner at the Inoki Bombaye show in 2001. And Jerome LeBanner is a French kickboxer who looks like he is carved out of stone. He looks like the prototypical fighter that you would want to put in there that looks like a machine who's going to wreck shop and kill their opponent. Muscle bound, fast, KO power. But what he did not have was any skills on the ground whatsoever. And Yasuda took him down as LeBanner was tired, and LeBanner tried repeatedly to bridge and roll Yasuda, but Yasuda was like 300 pounds and, you know, over 6 feet tall. I believe he's like 6'3". So he was a big dude, and he was able to get on top and, more importantly, stay on top of Jerome LeBanner. And after repeated attempts to bridge him off, Yasuda secured an underhook, and then he took his forearm and he placed it against Jerome LeBanner's throat, and he got the tap against all odds. And due to that, he actually ended up winning the IWGP championship in New Japan. Kazuyuki Fujita, who was also an MMA fighter, was the champion, but had to vacate the belt. And in the aftermath, Yasuda won a one-night tournament where he actually defeated fellow Pride veteran Giant Silva in that tournament, along with Yuji Nagata in the finals to win that title. And I believe he only had one defense before losing it to Nagata, but he went on to be the, I guess at some points, the leader of the best stable of all time in professional wrestling
eights?
History, the Makai Club.
Get out of here.
And it's a sad day when I read the news that Yasuda passed. I had the pleasure of meeting him in 2022 at the Inoki Bombaye show. He was there cornering someone. I actually believe might have been, am I going to get this wrong? There's Sudario and his brother. I can't remember his name. It might be Taka Kenshin. But I think he was there cornering one of them because they were also formerly sumos and had been fighting. And he was there with his construction hat on because he was doing work getting these sumos ready. So it was a pleasure to meet him. Like, I don't know. I don't really like talk about this, but a large portion of why I even fight or fought in the past was because I was such a huge fan of pro wrestling, and pro wrestling was doing such a bad job of fighting in those early 2000s. And when I would see a guy like Yasuda or a guy like Nakamura, who actually had his first match against Yasuda, when I would see guys like that win fights, I was so pumped up. It would give me so much inspiration. And honestly, it provided inspiration throughout my fighting career and even until now to see guys like Yasuda persevere. And what a great story he had. You cannot make up a story like that. Real life presented a better storyline than anyone could have conjured up. And RIP to the Debt King, Tadao Yasuda.
Yeah, very sad story. He passed away age of 63. Yep. I just watched that Jerome LeBanner fight a couple of days ago. That choke at the end, I'm still.
You know what my finisher is going to be if I make it back in the ring?
It's got to be that.
It's going to be that. It's going to be the old forearm choke. He at least had the underhook.
I guess.
With the right arm and then the forearm across the neck with the left. But you would see guys lose to that all the time. Nakamura beat Jan the Giant Norte.
I know. It's,
with that
it's
very
astounding.
Move.
Astounding. All right. We got a bunch of news.
Brian, back then guys yes. would like tap when they would get mounted.
Well, that is true as well. All right. We got a lot to... By the way, you know, I'm writing about the history of wrestling. And I'm sure you're well aware of, not Pancras, but the actual original Pancration.
Yes,
from the,
I actually...
Original Olympic Games.
Oh, geez, where's this book that I have? I just read a book about this sort of thing.
Anyway.
Okay, continue on, sorry.
The point is that if you look back at the original Pancration, I mean, it is... Yeah, I have that.
Combat Sports in the Ancient World
yeah,
by
I read that
Michael
like 15
Polyakov.
Years ago. Yeah. So anyway, the original Pancras, it's like, I swear to God, if you went back in a time machine to watch Pancras in the Olympic Games, it was essentially, I can't even say it was UFC 1 because here's the thing. There
you
were
you could gouge.
There were basically two. Well, you weren't supposed to eye gouge, and you weren't supposed to. What was the other one? It was two UFC rules. There was no eye gouging and no. What was the other one? Eye poking. Eye poking and whatever. I'll look it up in a second. But anyway, there were the exact same two rules as UFC 1, okay? And it was exactly like MMA. You could punch, you could kick, you could throw, you could do joint locks, you could do the whole shebang. And I was thinking about it, and they trained. I guess the Spartans, when they did Pancras, you could gouge. You could do whatever you wanted. But everyone else, there were two rules. Maybe it was headbutting. But anyway, the original UFC had the same rules. And what's amazing about it is if you watch the first UFC, it was a bunch of people that didn't know what they were doing. Okay. So,
well,
biting.
There was two guys that knew what they were doing.
Yes. But it was no biting and no eye gouging. That was the Olympic rules. If you were in Sparta, you could do whatever you wanted. But anyway, if you look at that first UFC, it was like, yeah, two guys knew what they were doing and nobody else did. So these original Olympic games would basically have been if you had UFC today with only those two rules, like exactly like UFC 1, because everyone back then, they knew what they were doing because you had to learn pancration. You know, they trained the military in pancration because if you lost your sword and your shield and your spear or whatever, it was hand to hand to the death. And so it was just amazing. You can see like old, like in Egypt, they've got like these drawings of like this grappling, and it's like there's single leg takedowns, and there's some dude looks like he's throwing a backdrop. This other dude's lifting
in
this
Egypt,
guy up.
You could go back to Sumeria, brother.
Well, yes, but I'm pointing out this particular one. This guy's got he's lifted this guy for a pile driver. Back in a moment, Observer Live.
Hey, airline travelers. Let's say you have a problem and you need to change or cancel an existing airline reservation. What do you do? Well, SkyWatch is a free service that can help anyone with any airline reservation fix it. Whether you want to cancel it, change your dates, or add passengers, we can help fix your airline reservations so you get exactly what you need. We've updated our computer database and now have access to every airline around the globe. So now you can make one phone call, regardless of who booked your airline tickets, and we'll change it, cancel it, and fix it for you. We know the insider secrets to fixing reservations that the airlines don't want you to know about. So if you need to cancel, change, or modify an existing airline reservation, call SkyWatch right now. It's a free call, so let us fix it for you. 855-325-5647. 855-325-5647. 855-325-5647. That's 855-325-5647.
I am a non-attorney spokesperson representing a team of lawyers who help people that have been injured or wronged. If you've been involved in a serious car, truck, or motorcycle accident, or injured at work, you have rights, and you may be entitled to money for your suffering. Don't accept an offer you get from an insurance company until you talk to a lawyer. And we represent some of the best personal injury lawyers you can find. Tough lawyers that will fight to win your case. And they're so good, they stake their reputation on it by only getting paid if you win. So if you've been in a serious car, truck, or motorcycle accident or hurt on the job, find out today for free what kind of compensation you may be entitled to. Call the legal helpline right now.
800-401-5163. 800-401-5163. 800-401-5163. That's 800-401-5163.
It's more than a rebellion. When your teen is slipping into drugs or alcohol, when social media and pornography consume their time and their mind, when depression and even suicidal thoughts cast a shadow over your home, as a parent, you feel powerless. There is hope. At Turnabout Ranch, troubled teens step away from the chaos and into a clarity of nature on a working cattle ranch. Care for horses, learn responsibility, build trust, and rediscover purpose. It isn't theory, it's real work, real therapy, real healing. Families from across the country have found transformation right here, just when they thought hope was gone. If your teen is struggling with addiction, harmful online behaviors, even weight management, call right now and get the help you all need.
800-219-2494. 800-219-2494. 800-219-2494. That's 800-219-2494.
You are listening to Wrestling Observer Live with Brian Alvarez and Mike Sempervivi on the Sports Byline Broadcasting Network.
Back in the show, Brian Alvarez here. Hey, did you read the story in that book about the most famous pancration fight in history?
I'm sure I did.
I can't remember the guy's name. It was like Archelousis or something. But anyway, this guy was in, I think it was the Olympics, and he was in pancration, and he gets put in a choke. He's getting choked out. And I presume the other idiot crossed his feet. But anyway, as he's in the choke, he manages to break this guy's toe or ankle, depending on the story. And the other guy's in so much pain that he taps out, and the referee goes to raise a dude's hand that was in the choke. He's dead. Mm-hmm. The only person in history to ever win a fight while dead. Although we have seen that finish in pro wrestling and mixed martial arts many times, just with unconsciousness. But yeah.
Well, we saw Ricochet die and still win.
Some things never change, in fact. All right, we got a lot of news. Let's see. Brock Lesnar is scheduled for the February 23rd edition of Raw. State Farm Arena, Atlanta, Georgia. His first appearance since the 2026 Royal Rumble in Riyadh. And we'll probably know more about WrestleMania. I presume, this is not 100%, but I presume that Lesnar's opponent is Obafemi. That was not said to be 100% even after what they did at the Rumble, but I don't know what other match you do, unless you want to do Lesnar you could do Lesnar and Gunther, but I think Obafemi beating Brock Lesnar would be a much bigger deal. And if Lesnar is going to retire in 2026, which is rumored, a lot of retirements coming up, I would have Obafemi beat him at Mania and Gunther beat him in his last match at SummerSlam. Although you could do the other way around. But I just see with what they're doing with Gunther that Gunther retiring Brock, I think, would be more likely. But he's coming back soon.
Where do you see Gunther fitting in for WrestleMania? Because I think he should just retire somebody else. R-Truth.
Who's available?
Nakamura.
Well, see, Gunther is, I think Gunther...
The career killer needs to kill another career.
Here's what I picture, okay? In the old days, whoever was going to WrestleMania had to beat the frickin' giant, Big Show, whoever, some big guy. So my presumption is that Gunther and Cody are going to end up in the chamber, and it will come down to Gunther versus Cody, and Cody will beat Gunther to get the big shove towards WrestleMania and getting a title shot.
I don't even feel Cody and Drew is going to be the match.
I think it'd be a three-way of anything.
I feel there's more people involved.
Like a four-person?
Maybe even more. Because I don't think Cody or Drew attacked Jacob Fatu. I think it was probably Randy Orton or Damian Priest.
I think it was 100% Randy Orton. Because they keep mentioning that someone kicked his teeth down his throat, and he had teeth all over, remember? And there's one guy that uses that punt when he's really angry, and it's Randy Orton. So I'll bet you anything Randy Orton is a guy that kicked his teeth down his throat.
Well, they could certainly do an Orton versus Fatu singles at Mania.
Yes.
But
Hiromu?
Drew versus Cody, the main event, a night? Are we going to get a different main event? Are the women going to main event? Are we going to get Rio versus somebody?
I would be surprised to see a women's tag main event.
That's the most pushed belt
depending on
in the women's division right now.
Big the match is, you could do.
Is it not? That's the most prestigious title that they have in the women's division.
Yeah.
Is those tag belts.
But literally, they're not headlining WrestleMania unless The Rock is on one of the teams. That's the only time they've ever done it with a tag team match. And yes, this would be the fourth time that Cody and Drew have wrestled each
other. That's not true. Didn't the Usos win?
They won the tag titles from... Usos won the tag titles from... Who'd they win them from?
I don't know.
I don't think that main event of the night, did it?
Was it maybe like Owens and
Owens and Zane
Stone Cold after that or something?
Yeah, they went after that, I think. All right, Hiromu has wrestled his final match in New Japan. He wrestled his final match at New Beginning in Osaka, teaming with Taiji Ishimori to defeat Jacob Austin Young and Francesco Akira. Of course, you know how it is in New Japan. Hiromu was on his way out, so he got the win. He submitted Jay. So, Lance notes that Mania 1 was a tag match. Well, yeah, you didn't have The Rock, but you had Mr. T and Hulk Hogan. So, that's about equivalent.
Kevin Owens and Sami Zayn defeated the Usos in the main event.
Oh, yeah, they
one.
Won the titles.
Yeah.
And then Stone Cold was, the next day? He had to be night two, right?
Well, I don't think he would have. Kevin Owens wouldn't have done back-to-back main event nights.
So Roma started saying his goodbyes. He was jumped by Akira, who smashed him with his steel chair. Robbie X ran down to make the save. And both X and Ishimori raised Hiromu's hands as he said goodbye. God, they just let these guys, leave with their head held high on top. It's crazy.
The first ever WrestleMania was headlined by a tag.
That's what I just said.
Oh.
Mr. T.
I don't know.
He's the equivalent to The Rock in 1985. That guy was so over, guys. Mr. T in 1985.
I had a Mr. T starter kit when I was a kid.
Wow. Yoda Tsuji allowed Takahashi to speak at the very end of the show following his IWGP heavyweight title defense. I heard that match was terrible. I know that's hard to believe that Yoda Tsuji and Jake Lee was said to be terrible.
Oh, he wasn't on that Jake Lee espresso?
But apparently it was. And also, David Finlay strongly hinted that he was leaving following his match with Callum Newman, where he did lose clean. And Newman mocked him. Finlay recovered, quickly became emotional, hugged everybody, bowed in front of Hiromu, and made his exit. So obviously there's a lot of talk, is he going to AEW? Is he going to WWE? I until about yesterday, presumed he was most likely going to AEW. And maybe he still is. But on NXT last night, they are filming a second, or they're putting together a second generation faction, and Lexus King is there, and Ariana with Stax.
Uriah Connors is like eighth generation, isn't he?
Well, Uriah Connors is David Finlay's brother, and Lexus King said, we just need that last guy or whatever, the last piece of the puzzle. And Uriah did say, I'm going to go talk to my father. So that made me think, my God, maybe David Finlay's coming in to lead this second-generation crew in NXT. I guess we shall find. Drilla Maloney has renewed his contract. And those were the big comings and goings. There was a title change. Ren Narita beat Aaron Wolf quickly.
What the hell
are
they doing? Could you imagine Ogawa coming in and losing to the freaking House of Torture?
3 minutes.
What? What? You know what the highest priced item at the Totokan was years ago when I was there? More expensive than Inoki's robe or Andy Hoog's sparring gear and shorts? A freaking Aaron Wolf gi. And now he's jobbing a Ren Narita? Even I didn't lose to Ren Narita. What?
Well, the only thing people are speculating is maybe the guy was hurt. I actually have no idea.
Who cares?
I'll watch it tonight. But, Aaron Wolf, 3 minutes defeated by Ren Narita.
One of the best matches I've ever seen in my life was Naoya Ogawa beating Tadao Yasuda in a minute 38. All he did was go out there and smash him and beat him up. They could have done that if he's hurt.
I don't know.
You can't job this guy out already.
We got the Knockout Brothers successfully retaining the IWGP tag team titles against Shota Umino and Yuya Uemura. And then Ricochet and the Gates of Agony appeared on the video screen. And Ricochet said they'd be taking over New Beginning USA, called out Taiji Ishimori for a national title match. Bishop Khan and Toa Leona challenged Yuto, Ice, and Oscar. So February 27th, everybody. New Beginning USA, Yotasugi versus Andrade, who won his match. That's for the IWGP Global title. Ricochet versus Taiji Ishimori for the national title. Knockout Brothers against GOA for the tag titles. Tomohiro Ishii versus Bolton Oleg for the strong openweight title. Siri versus Athena for the IWGP women's title. And El Fantasmo versus Takeshita for the World TV title. Which
how
is
many,
a, there's some very interesting matches actually on this show.
How many New Japan matches are there?
How many New Japan matches?
Yeah, it seems like it's a whole lot of AEW.
Well, Ishii and Bolton Oleg, Fantasmo and Takeshita. Takeshita is under New Japan contract. And yeah, there are a lot of AEW matches. First off, Yotasugi against Andrade is not for the IWGP title. It's for the global title. He could lose that match to Andrade. I don't know if you guys know this or not, but Andrade is now doing the belt collector gimmick. He's got like four indie titles that he has already won. And he's going for Mercedes record, I guess. And also, I mean, Takeshita and Fantasmo for the World TV title. I mean, are they going to beat Takeshita here? I don't think he's going to win that TV title. So he's pretty well protected. But that's an interesting match right there.
In even in New Japan canon, you think Fantasmo would beat him? I mean, he's coming off the G1 win.
I know.
Last year. He
it's
was
a
the
really,
champion.
It's that a really be... weird match.
Yeah, I would think he's winning that.
I mean, I guess he could win the TV title, but we shall see. Some new information regarding AJ Styles' retirement and contract status. We'll be up after the break, and we'll also do NXT as well. Observer Live.
Are you over the age of 50? Want peace of mind and financial security for your family? Here's an important message to you from Senior Care USA. The average funeral now costs over $10,000. That leaves your loved ones the burden of paying your debts and funeral costs. Our plans start as low as $1 per day and will pay your family up to $30,000 to help pay for your funeral and other expenses. There are no medical exams, your rates will never increase, and your plan cannot be canceled, regardless of your medical conditions, as long as you make your premium payments. Get up to $30,000 in final expense insurance. Call now for free information. Just answer a few simple questions and get approved right over the phone in just a few minutes. Call right now.
Call 800-399-6879. 800-399-6879. 800-399-6879. That's 800-399-6879.
You hear that? That's the sound of uncertainty lurking under your hood. You know the feeling. I know I do. That sudden sinking sensation when you see a check engine light or your car unexpectedly breaks down and you're faced with sky-high repair bills. It's time to shield against unexpected repairs with CarShield. CarShield is America's most trusted auto protection company and has an A rating with the Better Business Bureau. Don't let the fear of a breakdown keep you up at night. Trust the Shield, CarShield, and say goodbye to terrifying repair bills and hello to peace of mind. Your plan also comes with 24/7 roadside assistance, courtesy towing, rental car options, and so much more. Don't wait till it's too late. Call CarShield now before a breakdown. Protect your wallet. Protect your car with CarShield. Get our best protection ever. Call now. You'll thank me later.
800-247-6135. 800-247-6135. That's 800-247-6135.
Have you suffered sports betting losses? There is someone who wants to fight for you to see you get back what you have lost to those sports betting companies. Michael Watts is a prolific trial lawyer with over $11 billion in total recoveries for his clients. And now with sportsbettingclaim.com, he'd like to help you. Michael has been a leader in some of the largest and most complex cases in the country, from defective cars and tires to damaging drugs and medical products. He has always represented the rights of individuals harmed by large corporations. His efforts recently resulted in the recovery of billions for individuals who lost their properties to fires carelessly caused by electric companies and others. Michael knows that sports betting companies preyed on and manipulated consumers into losing their life savings, and he wants to make them pay. If you have suffered financial hardship as a result of online sports betting and would like help seeking compensation, please submit your claim information for evaluation at sportsbettingclaim.com. Michael Watts is focused on winning for you. sportsbettingclaim.com.
You are listening to Wrestling Observer Live with Brian Alvarez and Mike Sempervivi on the Sports Byline Broadcasting Network.
Back on the show, Brian Alvarez here, Wrestling Observer Live. We'll get to NXT in a second, but a couple of other notes. PW Insider had a weird story. They said that WWE and AJ Styles had been in talks for a new contract, but with the Royal Rumble approaching and no new deal locked in, the decision was made to go with Styles versus Gunther in the retirement match. But then it says that Styles' idea was to end his career at the Royal Rumble because it's the same PLE where he made his WWE debut in 2016. These two things don't gel to me. I mean, we already know that over a year ago, or about a year ago, Styles did a speech in Japan. Nakamura went up to him and said, you know, it sounds like you got one foot out the door. And AJ told him months and months and months and months ago that he was retiring at the Royal Rumble 2026. And I mean, maybe they were in talks for a new contract to do something after his retirement, but this is making it sound like if they'd come to an agreement, he was going to continue to wrestle throughout 2026, but they couldn't come to a deal, and so he retired instead at the place where he said he was going to retire a year ago. So I'm skeptical of this whole thing. But that's what they said. I mean, I'm sure he's probably trying to get a contract to do something backstage with WWE, unless he happens to wrestle somewhere. I do not rule out him going to New Japan. I do not rule out him doing AEW. My gut tells me he's probably not, but I don't rule it out. Also, when it comes to stories that don't make sense, Fightful is claiming that Samoa Joe is currently in concussion protocol. Now, I'm not doubting that report. I think that probably is true. What I am doubting, or what I am questioning, is a couple of weeks ago when Joe was not on the show, they made it very clear that he had suffered a non-contact injury. That's what they said, non-contact injury. And I even asked Dave, like, what's a non-contact injury? And he thought it meant, well, probably not in the ring. And maybe he hurt himself lifting or something like that. But now they say that he's in concussion protocol. How do you get a concussion with a how do you get a non-contact concussion? He thought really hard? So, yeah. Doesn't appear it was a non-contact injury at all. Couple of other quick notes, and we'll do NXT. Just some ratings notes. We've talked about how things have changed. They've tweaked this Big Data Plus panel. SmackDown did benefit yet again. 1.459 million viewers, up 16% from the previous week, and a 0.35 in 18 to 49, which is up 20% from the week prior, and is basically at the level of what they were doing before Big Data Plus panel. So it is possible, it is very possible, that they figured out this 18 to 49 thing, and these numbers are getting back to where they should be. Collision was not helped as much. They did 388,000 viewers, which was down 21% from the prior week, and a 0.07, which was the same as last week. They did go head-to-head with the Winter Olympics, so that's actually a pretty good number going head-to-head with the Olympics. And finally, Miz did the 6 Feet Under podcast with The Undertaker, and this is what he said. Before trying out with WWE, I called Simon Dean. Do you remember Simon Dean? I called him because he was part of UPW. I said, hey, I want some respect in this business, and I know if I go on Tough Enough, I won't get any respect. I didn't do it the right way. And Simon Dean said, it's for $1 million. It's for $1 million WWE contract. How many opportunities do you think you're going to get that? This is your opportunity. This is your time. I said, all right, I'm going to try it. I'm going to do it. He says, I tried to go to Japan. They wouldn't take me. Like, every time I tried going to 0-1, they would come in and we would wrestle. We'd do a match. I think my match would be great. It wasn't. But I thought at the time I was really special. But, yep, Japan would never take me. So I was like, well, this is an opportunity. So I tried out for Tough Enough, gave it full force, didn't win, but got a contract and ended up getting into developmental. So, yes, The Miz went to 0-1, founded by Shinya Hashimoto.
Could you imagine? We could have had The Miz against Naoya Ogawa. We could have had The Miz against Low Key.
I think he's lucky his career went ended up going the way it did. Good for him. All right, Tom, let's do the NXT report. What did you think of the show?
Sucked.
Really?
I did not. I mean,
it added some ups and downs.
It took me forever to get through. There was like 20 segments. Way too many segments. Way too many. That's my biggest complaint. We open up with Joe Hendry, the new face of NXT and the champion. He cut a pretty standard promo before the Vanity Project came out to the ring. And Evolve champion Jackson Drake feigned drawing inspiration from Hendry. The NXT crowd told him, shut the hell up. What a nice bunch of folks there. Drake admitted that it was the Vanity Project who attacked Joe Hendry weeks ago. So Hendry tried to fight them all off, but they beat him down. And Drake hit a running knee strike and posed with his Evolve title as the segment ended. Zarya was on her phone backstage. Sol and her questioned each other about the miscommunication last week. They said they need to get on the same page.
I thought the best part of that opening segment, by the way, was when Jackson Drake tried to take his shirt off and he got handcuffed. He couldn't get the sleeves off because they were too tight. And it's embarrassing enough, and then Booker has to go, having trouble getting that shirt off! That poor geek.
Yeah, but he's supposed to be a geek, so.
Yeah, but this was like legitimate geekiness.
Kind of supposed to be.
Like, he couldn't get his shirt off.
Robert Stone got bullied by Keanu Carver because he gave Jackson Drake a title shot already. Stone basically said Shawn Michaels wants chaos, so he's going to reward it. And Keanu heard that loud and clear. Robert Stone's having like an existential crisis the entire show with every decision he makes. He's like, oh. He looks like he's about to cry.
Does this guy know he's in charge? Like, he's just getting just bullied by this Keanu Carver. It's like, suspend this guy. Ava's gone, brother. You're in charge. No mention of Ava whatsoever, including the Vanity Project later revealing, we are the ones that beat you up, Joe Hendry. They don't mention that Ava's the one that put him into the match anyway, that Ava believed them, that Ava... It's just like, yeah, we lied. We did it.
Jada Parker and Blake Monroe had a match.
Yikes.
They had a striking battle. Blake Monroe won. She high-stepped to mock Jada, head-scissored her into the ropes. Jada made her come back. They ended up brawling on the floor forever. They brawled for like 30 seconds. The referee counts them out, and the announcers are like, what? Just like that? It's like they were out there for an eternity.
Bro, if you watch this show, there's people out of the ring for like an hour, and they never get counted out. This finish sucked, but I got to give him credit. At least they didn't beat Jada. And then they had a brawl afterwards, and Jada's killing all these nerds. All I got to say is
she
if anybody...
She kicked some dude in the nards.
If anybody working in NXT watched this segment and determined we need to go hard with Blake Monroe, perhaps that person needs to be moved to another department.
They need to go hard with Miss Parker.
You know what? Those of us that actually watched the show have known that for almost a year now. And their
solution cooled her off.
Was to take her off TV for months. I'm still bitter about 2025 in NXT. That's 2019 WWE levels of incompetence.
Hey, I'll tell you what I'm not bitter about was this video package.
Yeah, how did this end
Tatum
up on this
Paxley
show?
This Tatum Paxley video package was freaking fantastic.
This is the best video package I've probably seen all year. And it's on like, NXT about Tatum Paxley.
Tatum Paxley's talking about suffocating around Izzy Dame. She's floating through space, descending further and further while losing sight of who she is. Then she decides, through her own words, to let go. And in the process, she begins to float to the surface in a shining light through a maze of thorns. She said she will walk out at the end of this as the Tatum Paxley she was meant to be. This was freaking awesome. Like, I would watch an entire 2 hours of this. We had your Uriah Connors, Kale Dixon argument backstage, along with Lexus, Stacks, and Ariana rolling up. They said Kale can't understand where they're coming from as multiple generation athletes. Vic Joseph started asking about a felon. Hey, the country's looking for a felon right now. A little tone deaf to the big news stories.
Yeah, that was it weird.
Then the psycho killer appears.
Yeah, he's
what
in the crowd.
What the hell was this? This was like one of those bondage guys with a fart mask on sitting in the crowd. And then they just cut away to a speed match between Josh Briggs and Eli Knight. Eli Knight wins.
Josh Briggs has to be on the cutting
block. Yes, this is not bode well for the future of Josh Briggs.
I expect him to sign with like All Japan or Noah or even New Japan at any time.
Jasper Troy laid out Elio LaFleur and Eli Knight as they faced off. And hey, you know what? I hope he does that next week too, and I hope they make it a three-way, and then they can get the belt off him without beating him. Lola Vice got beat up by Kalani. Keanu Carver beat up like 40 dudes in the locker room. There was a Dark State promo. The Gooner guy threatened Tony D. Saquon Sugar's trash talk. The Culling came out. OTM came out. The Belly Boys came out. Tony D then laid out Dion Lennox in the ring as there was a brawl on the floor. Stone said OTM, The Culling, and Hank and Tank are a triple threat next week. The winner gets a shot at Dark State. Shiloh Hill's acting all weird. Robert Stone sees him. Ethan Page rolls in. Stone asks what he could do for the champ. Page refuses to defend against a bunch of guys, but he still wants to set the title defense record for the North American belt. And then Shiloh Hill rolls back in, and Robert Stone makes the match. Shiloh Hill and Ethan Page. Joe Hendry took on Jackson Drake. This match wasn't much.
I actually thought it was a pretty good match.
Hendry.
I mean, it wasn't like great or anything.
Powerbombed him, hit the standing ovation.
We're watching NXT here, dude. I mean, I'll take this.
Hoodie Ricky Saints attacked Hendry after the match. Hank and Tank lost to Brad Baylor and Ricky Smokes. Booker T said the Belly Boys were Megalodons and Great Whites. And Vic said, well, these Great Whites. And Booker T goes, no, Megalodons! Megalodons! Well, anyways, I don't even know what. Brad Baylor and those guys won. So I don't know what's happening now. It's a four-way next week, I guess.
Yes.
Zaruka beat Kendall and Ren in the main event.
Wait, what about Hank and Tank? Oh, you talked about that one. Never mind. I thought you were talking about that. I had to move on quickly. Yes, we got plenty
of main
time.
Event.
Go ahead.
You got something you want to say about that match?
Well, we had Kelly Kincaid's last night.
Really?
And she professionally interviewed Sean Legacy. Yep. She's been cut, and they didn't give her an option, she says, to even accept a contract renewal. So she's done after today.
Robert Stone actually told Miles Bourne to do something out of character.
Yeah.
So he told him to cause chaos, by the way. So that's probably going to come back to haunt him. And then Zaruka took on Kendall and Ren. And at the end, there was a blind tag by Soul. Zarya and Soul both hit their finishers at the same time on the opposition. But of course, Soul had tagged in and wins the fall and becomes the number one contender to JC Jane's NXT title. Why is there a tag rope? Because they were nowhere near the tag rope. Soul was not holding it. They go, this is up to the referees. Yes, this is up to the referee's discretion. But why? Why is it up to the ref's discretion? There's video replay in every other freaking sport on the planet. Why not try to make the correct call?
You need to be on the Brian and Vinny show Thursday so we can really unleash about this finish. And not only the finish, the aftermath when Soul and Zarya didn't break up again. Back in a moment, Observer Live.
Keep listening for details on how to get up to $300 airline credit. Sky Holidays introduces a one-of-a-kind air credit program. Our buying team got a little too aggressive in getting hotel and air deals, so now we have to liquidate our prices. Here's how. Whether you want to go to Paris, Las Vegas, London, Atlanta, Hawaii, or anywhere else in the world, we have amazing deals. Book a selected hotel and we'll give you up to $300 airline credit. Now you can book your vacation and get a free credit to use towards airline travel. We'll book both, airline and hotel, with one simple phone call. We have access to most airlines and deals on thousands and thousands of places to stay. Call right now, book your hotel rooms, claim your airline credit. You can change or modify it at any time. 800-256-4816. 800-256-4816. That's 800-256-4816.
I've got a question for you. Do you want a lower car payment just by making a phone call? You know, most people buy a car and they pay whatever the car dealer says their interest rate is, and they forget about it and make payments. But did you know there is a secret in your contract that allows another company to refinance any car payment to try and lower it? It's true. There is indeed a company out there that knows the ins and, more importantly, the outs on car loans, and they know how to lower your current car payments. It's easy and fast, and you could have a lower car payment next month. Make this free call right now and find out if you could lower your existing car payment. Call the Car Savings Hotline right now. The call is free.
Call now. 800-605-1680. 800-605-1680. 800-605-1680. That's 800-605-1680.
Hey, vacation lovers! It's finally time to use all those random facts you learned on TikTok for something that actually matters. It's the Radio Trivia Challenge from thevacationbuddies.com. All right, here's how it works. Be one of the first 10 callers right now and you'll score a complimentary 3-day, 2-night getaway from the Vacation Buddies. You'll stay at none other than Westgate Resorts in your choice of Vegas, Orlando, Myrtle Beach, or Branson. You ready? According to Travel Stats, which of these three cities is the most visited vacation destination in the U.S.? A, Las Vegas, B, Orlando, C, New York City. First 10 callers get the trip. So stop scrolling and start dialing. And let's see if TikTok actually taught you anything.
Be one of the first 10 callers. Call Vacation Buddies right now. 800-340-1834. 800-340-1834. 800-340-1834. That's 800-340-1834.
You are listening to Wrestling Observer Live with Brian Alvarez and Mike Sempervivi on the Sports Byline Broadcasting Network.
Back in the show, Brian Alvarez here, Wrestling Observer Live. Filthy Tom is joining us.
Brian, can I amend something?
Yes.
On my report on that main event match, because I said that Zaruka both hit their finishers at the same time, which is not what happened. Zarya hit the F5. Sol Ruka actually missed the Soul Snatcher and just crushed Kendall Gray.
It was weird because, like, this one, like, I love Kendall. This was her fault. Maybe.
She was too close.
She was too close, and she bumped too early, and Soul landed right on the back of her head. The only thing that I will say where maybe it wasn't her fault was as they were going for this spot, Zarya was going for the F5 on Ren in the middle of the ring, and she's spinning her around like Terry Funk with a ladder. And so Kendall had to hit the ropes, and she actually had to duck under to go take the Soul Snatcher, and I think it screwed up everybody's timing. So, you know, she was the person ultimately that was out of position, but I think she was out of position because two other people were out of position, and she had to try to work around them. But she seemed okay.
It actually looked worse than the regular Soul Snatcher, so in the grand scheme of things, it's kind of like Thea Hale's crushing of Blake Monroe. It actually looked more vicious than it is intended.
Begging for Sol and Zarya to break up. They fought throughout the match. They shoved each other. They argued with each other. And then they lose. Actually, Sol wins and Zarya is angry.
The crowd wanted Ren Sinclair to win.
But
they heard HBK.
The point is they just look at each other. After the match, they just look at each other. They still have not broken up yet. I'm so over these things stretching out for so long.
They're worse than us.
They are. This show stretched out too long. I gotta go. I'll be back with After Dark. We'll be up at 2 Pacific, 5 Eastern with a brand new show. And then I'll be back later on tonight with Dave Meltzer, Wrestling Observer Radio. Lots of stuff to get into, so check it out, everybody. And that's it. We'll talk to you again after a while.